welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Praise God, let's be seated. I wonder if you know what day it is today in the church's calendar. For those of you who don't know, it's All Saints Day. For hundreds of years throughout the history of the church, 1st of November has been celebrated as All Saints or All Hallows Day. Yesterday was Halloween, the evening before All Hallows or All Saints Day. And in the history of the church, All Saints Day has been the celebration of all the saints of God that have gone before us. All those who have faithfully witnessed over the years, who have maintained the witness of the faith, of the kingdom of God, throughout the centuries, thanking God for them, and also, of course, making everyone aware that we are the saints of this present generation, that God has called us to be his saints. Halloween was actually known originally as All Souls Day, when we wouldn't do this with the greater revelation that we have now, when people actually prayed for the departed, for those who were not the saints, those who didn't really honor Jesus in their lives. But we know that actually the scripture says we shouldn't pray for the dead because they will already have come before the Lord, and his judgment is already assured for those who belong to Jesus and for those who don't. So it's important for us to realize, well, there's a day that celebrates us in the church's calendar as the saints of God. And we are called to live as saints. When Paul writes his letters, he usually addresses them to the saints. I'm going to read a little bit from Philippians in a minute. And he addresses that to the saints at Philippi. The saints are the Christians, literally the holy ones, those whom God has set apart for himself. So it's great to thank God for all those who have faithfully lived as saints, because we inherit the legacy that they have left, and we want to pass a good legacy on to the next generation. Amen. I'm coming to the end of my generation, but I'm doing everything I can to pass on the faith to the next generation. Hallelujah. And that's one of the great things about having a college, as well as having churches as part of Kingdom Faith, that we can be always passing on the good news to the next generation. And I'm going to read from this. If you haven't come across this yet, I suggest you get it, The Truth for Today. It's the letters of the New Testament, but not as a strict translation, but what God says to you personally through this. It's like God speaking directly to you, taking the truths of the Word and declaring them to you. And I'll just read a few verses from the second chapter of Philippians. It says this: live as one who knows that he is saved and is thankful to have received this wonderful gift of salvation. Live in awe of who I am and in the knowledge of my unfailing love for you. Dread the very idea of ever denying me or standing against my purpose for your life. I am always at work within you, first, so that you want to do what is right in my eyes, and then to enable you to do my will. So let there be no arguing or complaining among you as believers, I know that would never be the case in anyone connected with Kingdom Faith. It's here, so I'll read it. Let there be no arguing or complaining among you as believers, no matter what I ask of you or what challenges confront you. Live blameless and pure lives because you have right heart attitudes towards one another, and so do not grumble or complain about others. Maintain your witness as my children, the children of light, called to serve me, and remain true to me, although you live in an unrighteous and depraved generation. You are to shine like stars in the universe as you share the word of life with others, demonstrating that I am the light of life. On the day when Jesus returns, you will share completely in the glory and triumph that belongs to him. Whatever sacrifices you have to make to express my life through your life are nothing by comparison. When you serve others, encourage them in their faith so that they will be contented no matter what their circumstances. Then they will be full of my joy. Now, that's all very practical. You see, when it's put in a personal way like that, we can receive it in a personal way. And what the Lord wants to talk to us about for a few minutes this morning is what it means to walk in the light as the children of light. God has been speaking to us these last 3 weeks and months in Kingdom Faith about the light, of being the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Then later, he said to the disciples, and you are the light of the world. So you are the light of Wortham. And of course, beyond that, God takes our influence beyond that. So it's very important that we live as the children of light. Jesus said, walk in the light while you have the light, that you might be the children of light. And the world, Paul mentions here that we live in an unrighteous and depraved generation. Well, that was true of the generation when he was speaking, but it's also true of this generation, isn't it? You only have to listen to the news or read your newspaper to know what an unrighteous and depraved generation we live in. So even more important that we should shine like stars in the universe. That's a very dramatic sort of picture, isn't it? That, you know, you look up at the night sky and it's all darkness, yet you can see stars shining. And if you look at the world, it's in spiritual darkness, but there are lights that are shining. And of course, the important thing about being a church, a congregation of God's people, is that a lot of lights together make a bigger impact than just little lights all on their own. Amen? That's why we need one another, and we need to be part of a body that is really radiating the light and the life and the love of Jesus. Okay, so this is a walk, the scripture says. Jesus says it's a walk in the light. Paul uses the same kind of language. John also. It's all the way there as a theme throughout the New Testament. We are called to be the light, and therefore to walk in light. Now, I want to be very, very practical, and I want to be real about this, because it's one thing to know how we ought to walk. It's another thing to actually do it. I mean, you know, I could preach you a sermon on what it means theoretically, and you would have to say amen, because it would all be true, but what actually concerns us is our daily walk with the Lord. Now, it's interesting the way that Jesus teaches us to pray in what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed, there's that name, you see, All Hallows Day. Hallowed, holy, sanctified is your name. Your name is holy. We are called to be that holy people. And a holy people are not pious. They're not self-righteous. A holy people are those that are set apart by God for his purposes. So when God called you and chose you and you were born again, you became a saint. Before you were a sinner, then you became a saint, the day you were born again. You became one of God's holy, set apart children. You became a child of light. And God's purpose was that your light would shine before all those that you know, so that they will be drawn to the light. Amen? So, God wants to bring people out of darkness into his light. So here we're called to walk in the light. Now, that means we are living in a different way from the people of the world around us. Now, Paul mentions in that, I'd like to read the whole of Philippians to you because it's absolutely brilliant exposition of what it means to live practically as a believer. But there's not time for that. But he just mentioned a few things like not grumbling or complaining. And Jesus talks about not judging, and not taking offense. See, because all those things are darkness. And if Christians walk in grumbling and moaning and complaining, if they're judging others and taking offense as soon as anything untoward happens to them, they're no different from the people in the world. People in the world are doing that all the time. And that's darkness. So if we're going to walk in the light, we can't walk in darkness at the same time. We've got to, you see, left foot in the light, right foot in the light, left foot in the light, right foot in the light. We're not very good witnesses if we're walking sort of left foot in the darkness, right foot in the light. Left foot in darkness, right foot in the light. I mean, that is obviously compromise, isn't it? So, you know, we can't say, well, on the one hand, I love, but then I complain. And I want to do good to others, but I moan and groan and grumble. See, it's totally inconsistent, isn't it, with what it means to be a child of light. Now, we could say, well, those negative things are natural. Yeah, of course they are. That's why everybody in the world does them. But God has put his supernatural life within you. You have Christ in you. And the Christ in you never grumbles, never complains. Hello? You remember what happened to Jesus? Not only did he constantly have opposition throughout his ministry, never complained about it, never grumbled. And when it came to the last few hours of his life, he was betrayed by one of his own disciples, never grumbled, didn't complain. He was denied 3 times. By one of his closest disciples, one of the inner three, never complained, never said anything negative about Peter. He was deserted by all the other disciples when he was arrested, never complained. He was whipped so that we might be healed, beaten by his stripes that we are healed, never complained. He was falsely accused, falsely charged, falsely condemned, first before the Jewish leaders, then before Pilate, never complained about being dealt with unjustly. Then when he was being crucified and they were banging holes through his hands with nails, never complained, he just prayed, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. See? Now that's Jesus walking in the light. Refusing to let anything that was done to him impact his life. He was light, and it didn't matter what the darkness did, he was remaining the light. So his reaction all the time was one of light, never of darkness. And the one who reacted in that positive way is the one who lives in you. by the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit in you is the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of God. So, what does that mean? It means the more that you depend upon the Holy Spirit who lives in you, the more you will walk in the light. And what that means in practice is the more you depend upon the Spirit, the closer you will walk with Jesus. And the closer you walk with Jesus, the more effective your witness to others, because more of the light of Jesus will shine out of your life. The more effective you'll be in prayer, because the closer you walk with Jesus, the greater your faith and trust and dependence in Him. So, this walk is not like the law of the Old Testament, where God simply says, well, this is the way in which you are to live. Because no matter how hard they tried, the Jewish people constantly failed to live up to the standards of the law. And this is why God sent His Son to start what is called a new covenant or a new testament, as we call it in our Bibles, a new way of relating to Him, whereby now it isn't us trying to live the kind of lives that will please God, but allowing the life of His Son, of His Spirit within us, to be expressed through our lives. Now, let me put this in a very simple way. Say on this side of the lectern, there is the life of Christ that is within you. And here is this natural life. The life that people who don't know Jesus are living all the time. You see, in the natural, sometimes you might want to moan and grumble, complain, feel dissatisfied, feel unjustly dealt with, and rejected, and all kinds of things that are negative. But here in Christ, there's none of that. Here there is perfect life and light and love and power and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. See, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. That means that the life of the Spirit within you can control all this negativity. And this is why Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and come after me. You've got to deny that natural, all those natural negative inclinations, because you have the power of the positive Christ, of the positive Spirit, of the positive kingdom of God within you. Are you at the same meeting that I'm at? I'm having a good time here. Are you all right? Okay, so it always encourages me to preach the truth. I'm always the one that gets more blessed than anybody else when I preach. And the reason for that is that the scripture says you get more blessed by speaking the truth than listening to it. Which means that what you need to do, having listened to it, you need to speak it. And the more times you speak it, and the more people to whom you speak it, the more you get blessed and built up in the truth. There's a little letter called Philemon, which I'm sure you read every night before you go to sleep. But there's a verse in Philemon, which is absolutely precious, verse 6. There's only one chapter in Philemon, but verse 6 says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will come to a full understanding of every good thing that you have in Christ. Very interesting. You see, what Paul is saying to Philemon is the more you speak out your faith to others, the more you will realize how much God has done for you, how much God has blessed you, how much He has put His favor or His grace upon your life. To remain silent will deprive you of the blessing that could be yours by speaking out and declaring the light. Hallelujah. It's amazing how you can do that. You know, very simple ways. It isn't that you have to go around, you know, quoting Bible scriptures, but just spread encouragement and light. It's amazing. I always like to say something positive to the person at the checkout in the supermarket. Because there are so many that moan, groan, complain. Say something positive. Bless them. You know, it's just spreading a bit of light. You might not have the time to evangelize them because of the queue behind you, but you can spread light wherever you go. You can encourage. People need encouragement. You just think for a moment. You love to be around people who encourage you. You avoid, like the plague, people that you think judge you. And so Christians should never give the impression that we judge even the sinners, even those in the depths of depravity. It's not for us to judge them. Judgment belongs to Christ alone. Our job is to pray for them, to witness whenever we have the opportunity, to see some of them saved out of the darkness, out of the depravity in which they're living. Amen. So, you know, it's a wonderful to use whatever opportunities we have to do that. But anyway, here we have all the positive life of Christ, of his kingdom. Paul said, the kingdom isn't over here or over there. The kingdom of God is within you. That your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You carry this holy presence. You carry the holy presence of Christ wherever you go. See, this is what it means to be a Christian. The Holy One lives in you. Before you were born again, you might have known that God was with you, but he wasn't in you. He only came in you when you were born again. That's why your old life of just living with God, or without him, whichever was the case with you, that ends, and a new life begins. And that new life is now Christ in you. The hope of glory. Amen. So, if we're going to walk in the light as he is in the light, the more we depend upon the Spirit, and the less we therefore depend upon ourselves, the more we will walk in the light. And when you think about it, it's a bit of a nonsense to depend upon yourself when you have the Son of God living in you. I mean, you know, what some Christians tend to do is they're walking in their own ability until they are faced with something that they can't do. Then they pray. Say, Lord, help me. And I think God could say, I don't know if he does, but he could say, well, why should I help you now when you've been ignoring my presence all the time? Beforehand. You just wait, you just treat me as the get out of trouble guy, the get out of jail car. No, that's not. He lives in you all the time. And you might think that there's certain things that you can do pretty well just by depending upon your own abilities, but do you think those things would be done better if you depended upon Jesus? Do you think Jesus could add another quality to what you do? Rather than just do things in your own strength. I did come to the right address. This is a believer's meeting,
yes,
is it?
It
is a believer's meeting. Okay. All right. So, you know, I think trusting in Jesus is going to improve the quality of our life many times over. And you see, the good thing about this is if we're walking in trust Jesus, trust Jesus, trust Jesus, trust Jesus, then the difficult situation arises. We're already in a place of trust. Whereas you see people that walk this way, trusting myself, trusting myself, trusting myself. Oh, here's the problem. Jesus! They're not in the place of faith to meet the sudden problem that arises. Are you with me? So, you know, the more we depend upon him, the more we become the people of faith that he's called us to be. And that means that element of faith, that element of trusting in him, is there in everything we do. And the great problem in this walk is temptation. Am I the only one that experiences temptation here? There's one other. There's two other people that are honest. The rest just laugh nervously. But what is the temptation? Well, temptation to trust yourself? Would that be sin in God's eyes? To ignore him and trust in self? A temptation to ignore him? Temptation not to bother to pray because I'm all right. I'll let you know if I need you, God. Would that be a temptation? Temptation to think, well, God's given me a good intellect and I can work things out instead of being a person of the word. Would that be a temptation? Not to read the scriptures because Jesus said my words are spirit and life. So if we're going to have a walk in the spirit, a walk in the life of God, a walk in the light, we need the truth of his word, don't we? So wouldn't it be a temptation to ignore his word? Huh? You see, we think of temptation as being, oh well, I have this particular problem and it's the thing that always niggles me and boom, boom, boom. And we focus on that and don't realize that there's a whole lot of other temptations that we may be falling into. So, I started to quote the Lord's Prayer. Let's just get back to that for a moment, because it's very interesting what Jesus tells us to pray. He does command us to pray that, not like a parrot, but he says, when you pray, say, Father, not mother, Father. Do you realize it's blasphemy to actually call God mother? I mean, you hear in the press some people, you know, advocating this, they're always lady. But you see, it says in the script, Jesus says, when you pray, say Father. He doesn't say when you pray, say Mother. You know, people that are advocating that are raising themselves above Jesus. That's blasphemy. The scripture says that the Holy Spirit within you will enable you to cry, Abba, Father. Not Mother. God is our Father. Hallelujah. So, he's our Heavenly Father. And when Jesus prayed, he always prayed to Father, never prayed to his mother. Hello? He said all the time, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He didn't say, if you've seen me, you've seen your mother. Well, you get these things in the press, you know, and people think they're being clever and modern and liberal, instead of which they're blaspheming. Going against. And blasphemy in scripture is not just cursing. Blasphemy is disobedience to God's word is blasphemy according to the scripture. So we're not blasphemers. We're believers. Right? We're not sinners, we're saints. So, you know, our Father in heaven, we praise your name. Hallowed be your holy name. Your kingdom come. Your rule and your reign. See? Your kingdom come. That's your, his rule and reign. Your will be done. On earth, that means in me. In Kingdom Faith. In Worthing. In Britain. In the world. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. But, I mean, we can't pray it for everybody else and not ourselves. We've got to say, let your reign. Let your rule be evident in my life. So that when I walk, I'm walking in the light and I'm expressing the light. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. You see, that indicates that Jesus expects us to pray every day. He doesn't tell you to pray for tomorrow's bread, but pray for today's bread. In fact, Jesus says, take no thought for tomorrow because each day has enough cares of its own. So you need to pray today about what faces you today, tomorrow you will pray what faces you tomorrow, because tomorrow will then be day, today. Are you getting there? Sounded wrong. Okay, so give us today our daily bread. That means not just the food to eat, but give us everything we need in order that your kingdom may be expressed in our lives, that your rule may be, that we may walk in the light as the children of the light. Forgive us our trespasses, forgive us our sin, forgive us for any ways in which your presence is not revealed. Anyway, any things in our lives that are not consistent with your kingdom life. Anything where really you don't rule and reign in that area, because you would never do those things. You would never think like that, never speak like that, never act like that. Forgive us that, just as we forgive everybody else. So that we, you know, are expressing mercy towards others as you express mercy towards us. We're not judging them, not condemning them, not criticizing them. You know, we're praying for that. We have this great desire, not only to go to heaven ourselves, but to see many, many more rescued from darkness and brought into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation. Anything that would be in opposition to your will. But deliver us from it. Deliver us from everything that is not right in your eyes and in your sight. Yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. See, it isn't that Jesus simply wants us to repeat those words like parrots, but he says this is the substance. This is the substance of what you are to pray every day in your life. Hallelujah. And sometimes, you know, people like to take the various parts of the Lord's Prayer as a theme and then pray around that. It's a good thing to do if you've never done that. But I pray this prayer every day in my life now. But I pray it with great intensity and fervor, not you know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're not at school now. Because some of us went to school and they still said the Lord's Prayer at school. I don't suppose they do today, I don't know. But anyway. My school, we said it in Latin, which didn't bless anybody. I don't know if I can even remember it in Latin now. Paternoster, Kies, and Chum. Oh yeah, we won't go there. We won't go there. So, anyway. And that wasn't because it was a Catholic school, it was just a tradition of that school for hundreds of years. They'd always prayed in Latin. All our daily prayers were in Latin. Amazing, nobody understood them. But I survived. Hallelujah. We did have the English translation along. You know. Anyway. So we want to really live as the children of God. And we want light to pour out of our lives. It's good to know, isn't it? See, you touch somebody else's life with just an act of love and light has flowed out of you. See, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. See, just that act of service. Light. That act of love, light. Those words of encouragement, light. Those words of forgiveness, light. That attitude of mercy, light. That help that you give to someone when they're struggling, light. That sacrifice you make when you much prefer to be doing something else, but you deny what you want to do in order to help someone else, light. As words of encouragement to the checkout girl in the supermarket, light. As words of healing, light. Every time you pray for someone, light. speaking the truth over your own life, speaking the words of God over your own life, light. See, what does the scripture say? Your mouth has the power of life or death. Every time you speak and act what is light, you're imparting life. Every time you speak the negative, you're imparting death. Criticism, judgment as death. We don't want to speak death, we want to speak life. Speak life over our own lives. So, you know, if you're sick, you don't speak sickness, you speak healing over your life. Speaking sickness. You know, complaining, oh, I've got this, boom, 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 boom. Every time you speak about it, it's worse. Every time you speak about God's answer to it, you're better. You're getting better. Amen? It's all a matter of light and darkness. And you see, the thing is that there's nothing in between. When God created, he said, let there be light. Yes? And even the scientists realize that the creative power in the universe is light. If there was a big bang, it happened when God said, let there be light. And you see, the universe is still expanding at a phenomenal rate, all because of God spoke those words. And he's never revoked them. So creation has to continue to expand because of what he said right at the beginning. Let there be light. And God wants us to be spreading that light as the children of light, walking in the light. It's wonderful. And you see, because God loves you, he seeks your highest good. And he knows your highest good is light, not darkness. So when he created, said, let there be light, he looked at it and he saw it was good. What does it say next? And he separated the light from the darkness. The light equal day and the darkness equal night. See, he separates light and darkness. He doesn't want us light, darkness, light, darkness. That's not walking in the light as a child of light. That's walking in twilight. As a child who doesn't quite know where he belongs. But we belong to the light. Amen? The great thing about our God is that he's always merciful. And so if we walk in the light and then, oh, darkness, somehow the Holy Spirit will make you feel uneasy about that. Something's not right. And then if you're sensitive to the Spirit, and then you say, Lord, forgive me, and the darkness disappears. And only the light is left. The great thing, you see, for you on the day of judgment, you needn't fear what it's going to be like when you come before the Lord. Because if you've lived as a child of light, the things of darkness will all have been forgiven. That's why it's good to keep short accounts with God. Right? As soon as you see something wrong, get it forgiven, then it's no longer there. It's gone. That's why we never need to live in guilt. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Only the devil tries to accuse and make people feel falsely condemned. We don't listen to the devil. See, he had his night last night, but today we're full of light. It's all Saints' Day, because the saints prevail. Hallelujah. So aren't we a blessed people? See, even when we get it wrong, still he is merciful, still he forgives us. Even when, you know, we feel we fail, he just picks us up, dusts us down, and say, come on. See, because we only fail when we've trusted ourselves and not him. Eh? And he says, okay, you got it wrong because you trusted yourself. Now learn from that, and in future, trust me. And then in future, you won't fail in the same way as you did in the past. Now, there's just one other little thing. There are some sins that seem to persist in our life. You know why? Because we don't hate those sins. In some way, to some extent, we still want them. Enjoy them. Feel justified in them. See, it says about Jesus that he loved righteousness and hated sin. And we hate sin in other people. Yeah, you were a bit too quick there, Larry. Got caught on that one. And we hate a lot of sin that used to be in our lives, and we've turned away from it. Isn't that right? Yes? There are some things now that you wouldn't do, that whereas in the past you might well have done. So those things are no longer a problem. It's just those wretched things that persist. What are we going to do about this? You know what I mean. It's the thing where you find you're asking God to forgive you for the 1,000th time. And every time he forgives you, but then every time the thing still persists. Now, what can we do about that? Well, that's decision time. See, do you really want Jesus to take that area of darkness out of your life? Or are you holding on to it? Might be gossip. Might be feeling justified in your criticism of others. Might be overeating, undereating. Might be greed of some kind. Might be a financial problem. Might be a problem with lust. It could be anything. But this is where God's reforming purpose needs to take place in our lives. And they say, Lord, I want to hate that thing, whatever it is, like you hate it. I love you, and I don't want anything that you hate to persist in my life. So please, by your Spirit, give me the grace to shut the door on that thing, never to open it again. So I don't keep going back. But I want to be transformed more into your likeness with ever increasing glory. Do you know what ever increasing glory is? It's ever increasing light. So God knows, doesn't condemn us because of those areas of darkness that still persist. But he wants to get rid of them because we're going to be so much happier and freer as he does. And the way I've always explained this, and I'll just finish with this, just to give you some hope, that imagine a large house. like a mansion in darkness. And the whole of this mansion is in darkness. Now, that was you before you were born again. There came the time when you opened the front door of that house to the Lord. And the Lord came in. Now you have the light in the house. And at that time, you turned away from a lot of areas of darkness in your life. And light came on in several rooms. So as you look at this mansion, you see the light pouring out of the entrance, and you see the light pouring out of some of the windows. But you still see some of the rooms are in darkness, because some of the windows are in darkness. And this is the case with every believer. But what the Holy Spirit does during the course of our life is He takes us on a tour of the house. And He comes knocking on each door of each room where He knows there's darkness. And He says, hey, it's time for that darkness to go. It's time for you to face this issue and let my light come flooding into that area of your life. And when you respond to the Lord, it's like having a fresh release of His life and love and power in your life. And then the light is shining out of another window where before there was darkness. And as you look at this mansion, as this process continues, so it's like lights are getting switched on, one room after another. And you see, the more those rooms are filled with light, the more light shines out of that house and impacts the darkness around. Whereas before it could make a certain amount of impact, the more those windows are full of light, the more anybody who comes near that house is going to come into the light. Hallelujah. Jesus, in Him, the scripture says, there was no darkness at all. There are no areas of darkness. But it's great, isn't it, that He's transforming you into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. The amazing thing, the absolutely amazing, amazing, amazing thing about the mercy and the love of God is that He doesn't condemn you for having those areas of darkness. He doesn't condemn you. It grieves Him and doesn't do you any good, which is why in His love for you, He wants to see you liberated from all those things. But He never condemns you because you are His child whom He has accepted. He loves. I mean, you know, those of you that have had children, and some of you look old enough and gray enough, and it's obvious you've had children, but you know, that you love your children, even though you can see things in them that you know are not right and that they need training, they need teaching, but you still love them. You don't condemn them for the inadequacy or their inability or for the areas of their lives that are not right. You just continue as a good parent to do whatever you need to do to deal with those issues, because you know that they're actually robbing them of being the kind of people that they could be without those areas of darkness. But you see, God is just like that with us. Except His love is much more perfect than any of our love for our children. And He doesn't condemn us. He says, no, you're my child. You're my child. I've called you. I've chosen you. I've made you my own. I've come to live in you by the power of my Spirit. That shows how much I love you and appreciate you and accept you. But I don't want to coexist with darkness. I live within you to get rid of all the darkness so that more and more of my light shines out of your life. this make sense to you? Let's all stand then, shall we? Praise God. I'm happy. Anybody else here happy? And you know, I'll just read some of those words I read earlier. Whatever sacrifices you have to make to express my life through your life are nothing by comparison to that light. Amen? Oh, Lord, you're so good. Come on, let's just thank the Lord for his love, first of all. The love of God means it's not emotional love. The love of God, that agape love, what it means is he seeks your highest good by giving to you whatever you need for your welfare. That's what the love of God is all about. So thank him that he seeks your highest good. And he knows your highest good is to be filled with light. Hallelujah. Just as he is light and in him there's no darkness at all. So thank him that he has delivered you from the darkness of the world. He's delivered you from the darkness of the devil's dominion and brought you into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Thank him that he's delivered you from death and made you a child of his life, a child of light. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that the old has gone and the new has come. Praise your holy name. Bless you, Lord. I thank the Lord that this is your day. It's All Saints' Day. Hallelujah. Thank him that he's called you to be a saint. He's made you a saint. One, he's set apart to know him, to love him, to belong to him for all eternity, not only in this life, but for all eternity. To rule and reign with him in his kingdom of light. That his kingdom will come and his will be done in your life now and for all eternity. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Now thank him from all those things from which he's already delivered you. The areas of darkness, you don't have to look back at them, but just thank you, Lord. All that darkness, it's all past now, it's all history. Thank you, Lord, you've liberated me from those things that once bound me and once restricted me, once hindered me. Thank you that you've forgiven me, that there's no guilt and there's no condemnation for those things. That they're all under the blood of Jesus. They're all completely forgiven. You freed me from them and you freed me from the effects of them. And I praise you and I bless you. Give you all the glory. Come on, it should be noisier in here now as you're praising the Lord, thanking him. Hallelujah. Right, now let's just be still for a moment. Just keep your eyes closed, your focus on the Lord. Is there an area of darkness, you know, that you know persists, keeps tripping you up, keeps annoying you, keep making you feel, oh God, I've done it again. Oh Lord, I've failed again. This is the day to be set free from that. This is the day to say, Lord, I make the decision. I do not want this issue to continue in my life. Forgive me if it's continued because there's been part of me in my flesh life that has wanted that thing or felt justified in it. But Lord, if it's darkness in your eyes, I want it to be darkness in my eyes. And I turn away from that darkness now. And I ask you to flood that area of my life with the light of your truth, with the light of your presence, with the light of your life. I want that room, what has been in darkness, now I open the door of it to you and I say, Lord Jesus, come into that area and flood that room with light. So that where before there was darkness, now there will be light. And I praise you, Jesus, and I bless you. And Lord, I'm not going to listen to any of the devil's lies and accusations. I'm not going to listen to him wanting to pull me down and make me feel a failure. I thank you that I'm one of your successes. Thank you that you are successfully fulfilling your plan and purpose in my life. Thank you, Lord, that you're transforming me from one degree of glory to another. Thank you, Lord, that that process is going to continue to my dying day. You will continue to deal with areas of darkness. You will continue to flood my life with more and more of your light. And I give you all the glory. I give you all the honor. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Now, just before we finish, just keep your eyes focused on the Lord. You know that sickness, that physical need, that's an area of darkness that God doesn't want. So just open it now to the light. Don't ask him, oh Lord, just heal me, because you've probably done that 4,000 times already. But just say, Lord, I'm opening this area of my life now to your light. Flood that area with the light of your life, with your healing grace. I just speak that health over my life now, health over my body in those particular areas. And I praise you, Lord. I praise you that the darkness of pain, the darkness of sickness, the darkness of infirmity is overcome by the light of your presence, by the light of your truth, by the light of your healing grace, by the light of your mercy, by the light that was released through your cross. Now, just as we finish, when Jesus hung on that cross, you remember it went dark for 3 hours. That's not an eclipse. No eclipse lasts for 3 hours. It was in that darkness that Jesus took all your darkness upon himself and cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, he experienced your darkness. But then that was followed by the light of the resurrection. And we thank you, Lord, that you've taken all my darkness upon yourself. And now I am a child of the light. I'm a child of the resurrection. I'm a child with the risen Christ living within me. I'm a child of the light because the glorified light of the risen, ascended Christ lives in me and lives in every one of my brothers and sisters here. And I give you all the glory. Come on, let's speak out our praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.